Good morning, everyone.
Good to see you. The sun is starting to shine, and we're here to open our hearts to the Lord. Welcome to our worship here at Wilmslow Methodist Church. Welcome to anyone who's worshipping with us for the first time, and do join us for drinks after the service in the lounge there. Special welcome and blessing to all those who will be listening to the recording of this service, particularly our friends at Carr's Court. I've got one or two additional notices. First of all, the choir are going to sing the introit, which is number 18 in your hymn books. I haven't put it up on the board, but do join in for the second singing of it. So the choir are going to sing it through once and then invite everyone to join in for the repeat. Sadly, reporting a couple of people who have died over the last few days. A former member, Margaret Hilson. Her daughter Lindsay has let us know that Margaret had died very peacefully with family with her in the last week. Also, Amos Cresswell, who is known to all of Methodism. He actually was a lecturer of mine at university, has also died and will be greatly missed. There's a service this evening which will be using the theme of mindfulness. 7:30, all are welcome. And the mindfulness course that Katie is running, there are only one or two places left, so if you would please let Katie know as soon as possible if you would like to join this course. I think that's everything we need to announce at this stage, so I'll hand over to our minister, Katie.
Thank you.
source of all life, all goodness, the wellspring of love. Your love is gracious, healing and compassionate, unconditional and without end. Your Son taught us how to live that love in practice, restoring and renewing relationships, finding the courage to forgive, the courage to stand up to protect the poor. Your Spirit brings peace that passes all understanding, healing within, wisdom to know how to respond to the challenges we face. That's how I want you. Come as you are. Feel quite at home. Close to my heart, loved and forgiven. Come as you are. Why stand alone? No need to fear. Love sets no limits. No need to fear. Love never ends. Rest in my love. Trust me again. I came to bring peace, not to condemn. Lord, bring new life where we are worn and tired. New love where we have turned hard-hearted. Forgiveness where we feel hurt and where we have wounded. And the joy and freedom of your Holy Spirit where we are a prisoner of ourselves. To all and to each where regret is real, God pronounces pardon and grants us the right to begin again. Thanks be to God. Amen. September is one that I call the silly season of Methodism, because I guess, like in many areas, all the meetings start up and lots of business to attend to. But one of the positive things is that the year, and I say positive perhaps retrospectively, I don't often say positive beforehand, you know, September begins with Synod. The positive thing is that it is a gathering of representatives of all of our churches across the district, and it reminds us that we are part of a larger family, far beyond us. You know, there are 70 million Methodists worldwide. We are part of a huge family, and we get a glimpse of that when all the church representatives gather at Synod. And then we have our circuit meeting again, reminding us that we are part of something bigger than just ourselves. Got a logo, and it's a bit of a fuzzy logo, of our circuit, the Bramall and Withenshaw circuit. I wonder if you could name the churches that are a part of that circuit. If you're not even sure how many, there are 12 of them. The next slide shows the churches that are part of our circuit. Bramall, Brownlee Green, Cheadle Hume, Christ Church Culshaw, Heald Green, Lawton Moor, Northenden, St Andrews, St Mary's, Stile, Trinity in Cheadle, and of course ourselves. Last, just because of the W, I think. One of the things that at circuit meeting and at our recent local preachers meeting was the encouragement of looking at ways in which we can remind ourselves that we are family and support one another, and even just begin to get to know one another, because we as a circuit are part of the family of Methodism. And one of the ideas from the local preachers meeting was that when local preachers move and go to different churches to preach, they might invite one of the members of the congregation to go with them, so that there will be people visiting our church with the local preacher who might tell you a bit about their church, and that people from here might visit other churches and then come back and tell us about it. So we missed a trick because Chris is at Healed Green this morning, and we could have invited somebody to join Chris at Healed Green. Or when David is preaching, David, you might want to invite somebody from the congregation to accompany you. Now, it wasn't planned, but Jackie happened to be at Style when I was there. And we had quite a different service. So I'm going to invite Jackie, having already done the moving and visiting another church, to come and share something about it with us. Thank you.
Yes, it was a couple of Sunday mornings ago. My grandchildren, aged 11 and 14, persuaded me to take them to Style Church. There will be cakes, Granny, they said. And there were. So off we went. And when we went into the church, it looked different. Instead of the rows of chairs all facing the front, there were tables dotted around with pretty tablecloths. And on the tables were cafetieres of coffee and pots of tea and cakes. And so we sat around the tables. There were about seven or eight on my table, and we were soon chatting away. There were some pieces of paper on the tables just to guide us and introduce the topic of the morning. And Katie moved amongst us, giving us help and guidance. There were the usual components of a church, of a service. We had hymns and prayers and a Bible reading. But the feeling was more of a house group where you could discuss things amongst friends. It was good. It was a lovely experience. And good cakes. So it was good. Thank you. And I'd like to say, compliment Katie. I happened to have been at the 9 o'clock service that same morning, and we had the same theme. It must have been the lectionary. And you couldn't have got two more different types of services, the intimate 9 o'clock communion service here and cafe church at Style. Well done.
It's not like that. You won't get cake every week at Style. But if you do, the next time we have cafe church, you're interested to go and see what it's like, let me know, and I'll invite you to join us. The other thing that we're doing, you know, as a circuit, is spending time praying together. It's called Heartbeat, and it's organised by Chris Goddard and Louise Goff and Sue Markle. And basically, once a month, they hold a prayer time in each of the churches in the circuit and invite members of the church to attend and to also to visit other churches. And Julie was here yesterday as Heartbeat met here, and I'm going to invite Julie to come and share with us. Thank you, Julie.
Back at my favourite place. Not. Yes, I came to Heartbeat yesterday. It wasn't what I was expecting. I thought it was going to be a come and pray for your church and your circuit, but it was a lot more than that. It was restful, quiet contemplation. They had really nice, peaceful music. There were four tables of resources, so they had the circuit churches on one table. They had prayers that you could use. They had a labyrinth around the edge. They had candles. You could come and pray for someone you wanted to, or for yourself, or for the church. It took away the busyness and stress of life. I came away refreshed and motivated and happy. And after that, we had coffee and cake and chat. You missed out. It was a shame that not many came, but if you want to go to the next one, I recommend it. I really enjoyed it, and if anyone needs a lift, I'm happy to take you. And I got to meet a man called Stephen that Louise brought. He was really nice. He was chatting away about Wilmslow and where he used to go to visit his grandparents. So yeah, it was really nice.
Thank you very much, Julie, for sharing that. Just opportunities for us to gather together and pray together. Even just simply resting in the quiet, it's like a mini retreat. Beyond our circuit, the wider Methodist Church is asking us not only to encourage one another, but to also encourage our young people. If you think they're all off on holiday still, they're not. They're in the back at the moment having fun and will join us later. But this is request to encourage 1,000 teenagers that are gathering nationally in Southport in November. And we're going to just watch a little clip, which is an invitation to encourage young people across our churches. I'll be sending out some more details next week about that and about other things. But if you would like to write a letter, they would really, really appreciate some encouragement for our young people. Too late to give the harvest information this week because I'm still waiting for it, but just to let you know that it will be for a charity called Mukard. It's a Muslim Christian charity working to support some of the poorest communities in the Philippines, but look out for that information next week. Going to sing a hymn now. Before we hear our reading, speak, O Lord, as we come to you.
Oh,
The Gospel reading is from Mark chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 27. Jesus went with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Amen.
Incredible sort of declaration of faith by Peter. You know, he's finally been able to say, "You are the Messiah." But almost sort of moments, you know, after he's made that declaration, and Jesus then explains, "Well, you do know that what the Messiah means now is a very different thing to which you'd understood before." And Peter just like, "No way, no way, you are not going to go and die on me, you're not going to go and suffer. That doesn't add up, that's not what I thought it was all about." And Jesus has to challenge Peter, and he speaks strong words to him out of love, saying, "My path isn't an easy one, it will be challenging." Just going to reflect on some of those things, the easy way or God's way. Oh, it's if you clicked it down. The easy thing is retaliation, getting your own back. God's way to keep on loving and to forgive. Easy to love the lovable. God's way is seeking to find ways to love those that we find hard. Easy to save money for me and for mine. God's way challenges generosity towards others in need. Easy to buy cheap. God's way to challenge the unjustness of world trade to support fair trade. It's easy to turn a blind eye. God's way might be highlighting what's wrong. It's easy to be quick to judge. God's way challenging us not to throw the first stone without seeing the log in our own eye. Easy to focus on my own needs. God's way encouraging us to focus on loving and including all. deny not what is good and life-giving, but an easy way that neglects others. The lovely thing is that whilst Peter professes his faith but yet doesn't quite understand, Jesus doesn't give up on him and encouraging him and reassuring him. Following this passage, we see Jesus bringing Peter into the very presence of God on the Mount of Transfiguration, encouraging Peter into the depth of God's love. Going to hear our second reading now. It's an unusual reading. It's from James. The letter of James is very punchy. It's very black and white. It's very, this is how you must live. Lots of hyperbole, exaggeration. And in this passage, part of today's lectionary, he's talking about the tongue. Thanks.
Reading from chapter 3 of the letter of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh.
I'm just going to have one of the last verses from that. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's a phrase that many preachers use, you know, before their sermon, and certainly good words. If we can just leave those words up, Bill, thank you. Certainly, you know, good words to reflect on. Although it's for more than a sermon. You know, they are words for us perhaps to reflect on every single day, every single morning, to help us focus on how we speak, the words of our mouth and the thoughts of our hearts. Words. We can have all sorts of fun with words, can't we? I was told, you know, early on, and I've probably mentioned before, a story of my nana who fell out with her brother over a trifle. That's what I was told. And it was only a couple of years ago that I thought, actually, it probably wasn't a trifle. It was a trifle. It was a small thing. I completely had in my head for years that it was over an actual trifle. Words can confuse us, and we can get the wrong end of the stick with words. And words can also hurt. I wonder if you can complete the phrase. Sticks and stones. It's one that most of us at some point in our childhood might have said in the playground to a sort of retaliation for somebody calling us a name. Names will never hurt us. But actually, names can hurt, and the wound can last far longer than the wound caused by the sticks or the stones. Negative thoughts stick like Velcro, whilst the positive ones slip off like Teflon. The power of words and how they can be used abusively has been recognised recently in domestic abuse legislation since 2015. That words can be used coercively and manipulatively and can cause as much damage as a punch can. Words can harm. And even in small ways, they can make a difference. That art teacher's laugh and comment upon my piece of art at 13 put me off lifting a pencil to draw anything for probably 20 years, the damage that it did. James is saying that one word can be like one small turn of the rudder and send people off in another direction, just as one small spark can cause a huge fire. Can you remember some electioneering a couple of years ago, and Gordon Brown had got into a car having spoken to a woman, and he just said what he thought, thinking that nobody could hear him? What a media storm that caused, because he'd really hurt that woman by a slip of the tongue, just letting off steam perhaps. One small word can cause a storm. James highlights for his congregation that the words that they speak can have a huge impact. They can cause harm, they can cause people to walk away, and they should take care. The passage reminds me of how much we need to work to model good, positive language, not just here, but also in our communities. We see the power of words in blogs and tweets and social media. You know, Paul, as you see in this lovely banner, you know, love is kind. But anonymity on social media has allowed people to be unkind. Not a new thing, though. The other passage for today is from Proverbs. And it says, how long will mockers delight in mockery? It's something that's obviously been around for a long time, but the brutal negativity on social media is having a huge impact on our young people. Perhaps one of the causes behind the rising levels of self-harm and rising levels of anxiety. There's a fear in using the wrong words. Sat on a park bench with a friend in London, and she was talking about the women's party of which she's a part and some of the challenges that they're having in deciding what words mean and what they refer to. And at some points talking in a whisper for fear of being overheard, a fear that if you use the wrong word, people will have a real go at you. There's a real need, isn't there, to follow Paul's teaching about love, love that is patient, love that is kind, love that doesn't dishonour others, that takes no pleasure in others' faults, and ignore the voices in our culture that encourage us to judge, dismiss, hate or fear others. Richard Rohr says it doesn't help that our brains have evolved to hold on to negative thoughts, perhaps part of a survival instinct. And he reminds us that we have to deliberately, consciously choose to love and not to hate. Paul's lovely words to the Colossians say, Conduct yourselves to outsiders wisely. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. James is right when he says, you know, with the tongue we bless the Lord and Father, but also with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. He says, my brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. What an important message. It really jars, doesn't it, when we hear somebody speak negative words when on another occasion they've presented themselves as loving and kind. That story we've heard some time ago about, you know, an internet troll writing really horrible stuff and people found out it was somebody who attended church every week. It just jars, doesn't it? What a negative witness. So how do we keep a check? How do we work towards a more positive focus? There's a real value in teaching. Oh, I was so chuffed the other day. You know, I told the story about the grandma and the three sieves. Some of you will remember the story about the grandma and the daughter running to tell her a bit of gossip and saying to her granddaughter, well, has it been sieve through the sieve of truth? Has it been through the sieve of goodness? And has it been, you know, is it necessary? Has it been through that third sieve? Chuffed because a family who was visiting, the mum came to me the other day. She said, you know what? I overheard my sons speaking. One of them said, yes, but before you tell me, is it true? Is it good? And is it at least necessary? Yes. I was so pleased. You know, we can teach things and have an impact, can't we? But it's also about how we model behaviour. You know, we had a fantastic picnic with the families at Stile and gorgeous little Ethan. Ethan was there and I was chatting to Ethan, but the sun was in my eyes, so I was doing this. And then every time Ethan came up to me, he went like this too, because he was just copying. It's what young children do. They copy behaviour. And Tam was saying, no, it's because the sun was in her eyes, trying to explain. So important that we model good behaviour, because that's how people learn and pick up things, subconsciously even. I was so pleased when Anne Robinson's quiz show was replaced by Alexander Armstrong's Pointless, because there was a noticeable difference in negative language to one that was positive and affirming, because it makes a difference what people hear. Ellie, who came to faith in her 20s, said to me, she said, the biggest struggle coming to faith was the school staff room and how she then joined in with language or didn't join in with it. How she had to try and model positive language. But however much training or teaching we do, it's not by rules that we should learn. You know, one of the descriptions of the letter of James is that, you know, he's teaching Christian right behaviour. You know, and that's important. But I guess what I want to say here is that the church has tried rules for behaviour over the ages. The strictness of the 16th century Puritans, the 18th century Methodists, the Victorian era of the church. And whilst we can try and be perfect by rules and discipline and dogma, it actually ends up just pleasing the ego and then looking down on others in judgment. Rather than rules, again and again, Jesus makes the invitation that we dwell in God's love, agape, the love of God that's divine and infinite, unconditional, the source and wellspring of life itself. The more we spend time simply being aware and present in that love, the more we naturally desire to reflect it. The Christian mystics across the ages, contemplatives who spent much time meditating on God's love, wrote that whilst it didn't make life easy, it didn't make the problems go away, it helped them respond to challenges through love. Operating from an abundance rather than a scarcity or fear. when we connect with that love, energy flows outwards and expands. It helps us to respond with patience, kindness, forgiveness, grace, and hope, to have an open-heartedness. A baptism parent that I was speaking to was saying, you know, that when they were expecting their second child, they were really worried that they wouldn't have enough love to share with the second child as much as the love that they already had for their first child. You know, later on came back and said, you know, but love just multiplied. Love grew. Their capacity for group for love expanded. Love has an endless ability to pour itself out. Jesus invites us to dwell in his love so that we might know joy in all its fullness. It's easy to get really disheartened by all the negative on social media or the negative in media and in society. But let it not get us down. Let us be firm in choosing to dwell in love and to radiate God's love and goodness, to learn to speak through his grace. And whilst James, in the language of 2,000 years ago, talks about the tongue staining the whole body and it being a negative part of us, you know, it's important to remind ourselves that you are not your thoughts. All sorts of things pop into our minds because of the things that we've seen and heard. It's not a thought in your mind that is an image of who you are. It's how you respond to that thought that's really important. To actually say, I don't want to think that. Put that aside. You know, what do we do when we do find ourselves having spoken a negative word, when the meditations of our heart haven't matched up? That's where we realize that we have the wonderful gift of God's love and forgiveness. You know, daily confession isn't about daily beating ourselves up about how far we have messed up. A little section of the prayer for the examine says, you pause for a moment and reflect on any opportunity missed, any moment when you were not the person God would have you be. You ask for forgiveness. You lay down any burden and allow yourself to sense his healing mercy washing over you and know that you are forgiven. The gift of that, an invitation to participate in daily confession, is one that helps us to be aware of where we're in tune with God and where we are not, but so that we might receive forgiveness and start each day afresh, determined to dwell and be rooted in his love and to speak out of love. The gospel is a challenging and tall order, but we're invited to live this life through the strength of God's Holy Spirit. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in God's sight. Amen. Going to sing, Have You Heard God's Voice? There's a verse there talking about, are we prepared to hope and not give in to the negative around us? To invite you to turn to a sheet of paper you were given when you came in. It was the prayer sheet focusing on this church that was handed out yesterday. And I'm just going to play a piece of music and just give you some time to read and pray for those areas of our church's life. There's a prayer on the other side too. Gracious God, we ask that you accept our prayers for our church, our community that meets in this place. May we be a community of love that radiates your grace, your welcome. We pray for our circuit churches. We pray for a church that recently closed in our circuit, for the members of Bagley Hall, that they might find communities in which they can gather for worship. We pray for Bramall and Brownlee Green, Cheadle Hume and Christchurch Colshaw, for Heald Green and Lawton Moor, Northenden, St Andrews, St Mary's and Stile, and Trinity Church in Cheadle. Bless each community that it might work and be for your honour and glory. We thank you for those members who have served our churches. Today we give thanks for Margaret Hilson, remembering all that she shared as part of this community And we ask your blessing upon her family. And we give thanks for the life of Amos Cresswell, once superintendent in this circuit, president of conference, who has taught and shared faith with so many people. We thank you for his faithfulness and life, and ask your blessing upon his family too. Accept the prayers for our church, we pray. And we pray for the church that is working to support people in many places, in many situations, both in this country and overseas. Accept our prayers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And we join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Going to sing our communion hymn, Lord Jesus Christ, and our offering will be received as we sing. Into our lives, for all that we receive as we share in your community of love. We ask that you will receive the gifts that we offer, that they might be used for your honour and glory in your kingdom. Amen. Please be seated. just to say it's lovely to have everybody gathered together. It's lovely to see some of you last week in the picnic. But also really, really lovely to say, Oscar and Maya, it's so lovely to see you. I know you've been away a long time, haven't you, over in the summer in Italy. And the lovely bit, because I did think we were going to have to say goodbye this morning, but we're not, because you're staying, aren't you? So it's really special to have you here with us today. We're going to share in this special part of our service, which is sharing in God's love together. And today, you'll notice that the communion rail isn't here, because the bread and the wine is going to be brought to you. And when it's brought to you, you hold the bread in your hand until everybody has the bread in their hands. And then we eat it together, remembering that we are gathered around, almost gathered around a table with Jesus together, present with him. Going to share in some words too on the screen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Going to share a prayer before we join in those words. Gracious God, we thank you that you gather each one of us, inviting each one of us to be here in and through your love. We thank you that you have spoken to us through people across our lives, and that you've spoken your word across the generations, calling people to walk in Jesus' way, a way of sacrificial and life-giving love. We thank you for your presence with us, constant and steadfast. And we join with the faithful of every time and place as we join in the words of this hymn saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We remember that on the last night, Jesus shared with his disciples in an upstairs room, and they began the meal by washing feet. And Jesus did the job that only a servant would do, only the least important would normally do, and that was to wash their feet before they were to share together in this meal. Strange custom to us, but an important one then. And Jesus washed their feet saying, if I can do this and serve and love another, so can you. Nobody's too important to care for another person. And so Jesus began the meal by showing his love through that action. And then in the meal, he took the bread and he blessed it and he gave thanks for it and said, this is a symbol of my body that is given for you. When you meet, do this in remembrance of me, sharing this bread. Towards the end of supper and having blessed the bread, he then took the wine and he gave thanks for it and he blessed it and he gave it to them saying, this is the blood of my new covenant poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this whenever you gather in remembrance of me. And he prayed with them, and we pray too, asking, Lord, that you will bless these gifts of bread and wine, that they might be for us a reminder of your love present with us. Amen. And so we break the bread. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because you'll share in the one load. The stewards will now come and bring you the gift of bread, a reminder of God's love with us. And so we take, receive, and eat this gift of love. Amen. And so we receive the gift of wine. Amen. May God fill us with his love. May he fill us with his peace. And may we know his joy. I'm going to share in this prayer of thanksgiving on the screen. We thank you, Lord, that you have fed us in this sacrament, reunited us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet prepared for all people. Amen. Going to sing I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. It's an invitation saying, will we take light into darkness? Will we bring love into hard places? And will we nourish and feed others through our lives? There are some flags here if you'd like to have a flag as we sing. And some instruments for the tinies as well.
That's it.
That's it. snow and rain. I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of men. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone. Give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I? Grace with one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. God bless you. Now, I forgot to mention.
Thank you, Casey. Thank you very much. What was that?
They're just prayer requests. We can